The Golden Bough. A Study of Magic and Religion. By Sir James George Frazer. This audiobook was produced by Klaus-Dieter Mond, Rastatt, Germany and is published under the conditions of the Gutenberg Organization. Chapter 62. The Fire Festivals of Europe. Section 6. The Halloween Fires. From the foregoing survey we may infer that among the heathen forefathers of the European peoples the most popular and widespread fire festival of the year was the great celebration of Midsummer Eve or Midsummer Day. The coincidence of the festival with the summer solstice can hardly be accidental. Rather, we must suppose that our pagan ancestors purposely timed the ceremony of fire on earth to coincide with the arrival of the sun at the highest point of his course in the sky. If that was so, it follows that the old founders of the midsummer rites had observed the solstices or turning points of the sun's apparent path in the sky, and that they accordingly regulated their festal calendar to some extent by astronomical considerations. But while this may be regarded as fairly certain for what we may call the Aborigines throughout a large part of the continent, it appears not to have been true of the Celtic peoples who inhabited the Land's End of Europe, the islands and promontories that stretch out into the Atlantic Ocean on the northwest. The principal fire festivals of the Celts, which have survived, though in restricted area and with diminished pomp, to modern times and even to our own day, were seemingly timed without any reference to the position of the sun in the heaven. They were two in number, and fell at an interval of 6 months, one being celebrated on the eve of May Day and the other on All Hallow Even or Halloween, as it is now commonly called, that is, on the 31st of October, the day preceding All Saints or All Hallows Day. These dates coincide with none of the four great hinges on which the solar year revolves, to wit, the solstices and the equinoxes. Nor do they agree with the principal seasons of the agricultural year, the sowing in spring and the reaping in autumn. For when May Day comes, the seed has long been committed to the earth. And when November opens, the harvest has long been reaped and garnered, the fields lie bare, the fruit trees are stripped, and even the yellow leaves are fast fluttering to the ground. Yet the 1st of May and the 1st of November mark turning points of the year in Europe. The one ushers in the genial heat and the rich vegetation of summer, the other heralds, if it does not share, the cold and barrenness of winter. Now these particular points of the year, as has been well pointed out by a learned and ingenious writer, while they are of comparatively little moment to the European husbandman, do deeply concern the European herdsman. For it is on the approach of summer that he drives his cattle out into the open to crop the fresh grass, and it is on the approach of winter that he leads them back to the safety and shelter of the stall. Accordingly, it seems not improbable that the Celtic bisection of the year into two halves at the beginning of May and the beginning of November dates from a time when the Celts were mainly a pastoral people, dependent for their subsistence on their herds, and when accordingly the great epochs of the year for them were the days on which the cattle went forth from the homestead in early summer and returned to it again in early winter. Even in Central Europe, remote from the region now occupied by the Celts, a similar bisection of the year may be clearly traced in the great popularity, on the one hand, of May Day and its eve, Walpurgis Night, and, on the other hand, of the Feast of All Souls at the beginning of November, which under a thin Christian cloak conceals an ancient pagan festival of the dead. Hence we may conjecture that everywhere throughout Europe the celestial division of the year according to the solstices was preceded by what we may call a terrestrial division of the year according to the beginning of summer and the beginning of winter. Be that as it may, the two great Celtic festivals of May Day and the 1st of November, or, to be more accurate, the eves of these 2 days, closely resemble each other in the manner of their celebration and in the superstitions associated with them, and alike, by the antique character impressed upon both, betray a remote and purely pagan origin. The festival of May Day or Beltane, as the Celts called it, which ushered in summer, has already been described. It remains to give some account of the corresponding festival of Halloween, which announced the arrival of winter. Of the two feasts, Halloween was perhaps of old the more important, since the Celts would seem to have dated the beginning of the year from it rather than from Beltane. In the Isle of Man, one of the fortresses in which the Celtic language and lore longest held out against the siege of the Saxon invaders, the 1st of November, Old Style, has been regarded as New Year's Day down to recent times. Thus Manx mummers used to go round on Halloween, Old Style, singing, in the Manx language, a sort of Hogmanay song which began, "Tonight is New Year's Night, Hogunna." In ancient Ireland, a new fire used to be kindled every year on Halloween or the eve of Samhain, and from this sacred flame all the fires in Ireland were kindled. Such a custom points strongly to Samhain or All Saints' Day, the 1st of November, as New Year's Day. Since the annual kindling of a new fire takes place most naturally at the beginning of the year, in order that the blessed influence of the fresh fire may last throughout the whole period of 12 months. Another confirmation of the view that the Celts dated their year from the 1st of November is furnished by the manifold modes of divination which were commonly resorted to by Celtic peoples on Halloween for the purpose of ascertaining their destiny, especially their fortune in the coming year. For when could these devices for prying into the future be more reasonably put in practice than at the beginning of the year? As a season of omens and auguries, Halloween seems to have far surpassed Beltane in the imagination of the Celts. From which we may with some probability infer that they reckoned their year from Halloween rather than Beltane. Another circumstance of great moment which points to the same conclusion is the association of the dead with Halloween. Not only among the Celts but throughout Europe, Halloween, the night which marks the transition from autumn to winter, seems to have been of old the time of year when the souls of the departed were supposed to revisit their old homes in order to warm themselves by the fire and to comfort themselves with the good cheer provided for them in the kitchen or the parlour by their affectionate kinsfolk. It was, perhaps, a natural thought that the approach of winter should drive the poor shivering hungry ghosts from the bare fields and the leafless woodlands to the shelter of the cottage with its familiar fireside. Did not the Lawinkin then troop back from the summer pastures in the forests and on the hills to be fed and cared for in the stalls, while the bleak winds whistled among the swaying boughs and the snow drifts deepened in the hollows? And could the goodman and the goodwife deny to the spirits of their dead the welcome which they gave to the cows? But it is not only the souls of the departed who are supposed to be hovering unseen on the day, when autumn to winter resigns the pale year. Witches then speed on their errands of mischief, some sweeping through the air on besoms, others galloping along the roads on dabbercats, which for that evening are turned into coal-black steeds. The fairies, too, are all let loose, and hobgoblins of every sort roam freely about. Yet while a glamour of mystery and awe has always clung to Halloween in the minds of the Celtic peasantry, the popular celebration of the festival has been, at least in modern times, by no means of a prevailing gloomy cast. On the contrary, it has been attended by picturesque features and merry pastimes, which rendered it the gayest night of all the year. Amongst the things which in the Highlands of Scotland contributed to invest the festival with a romantic beauty were the bonfires which used to blaze at frequent intervals on the heights. On the last day of autumn, children gathered ferns, tar barrels, the long thin stalks called gainisk, and everything suitable for a bonfire. These were placed in a heap on some eminence near the house, and in the evening set fire to. The fires were called Samhnagan. There was one for each house, and it was an object of ambition who should have the biggest. Whole districts were brilliant with bonfires, and their glare across a highland loch, and from many eminences, formed an exceedingly picturesque scene. Like the Beltane fires on the 1st of May, the Halloween bonfires seem to have been kindled most commonly in the Perthshire Highlands. In the parish of Callander they still blazed down to near the end of the 18th century. When the fire had died down, the ashes were carefully collected in the form of a circle, and a stone was put in, near the circumference, for every person of the several families interested in the bonfire. Next morning, if any of these stones was found to be displaced or injured, the people made sure that the person represented by it was fey or devoted, and that he could not live 12 months from that day. At Balquhidder down to the latter part of the 19th century, each household kindled its bonfire at Halloween, but the custom was chiefly observed by children. The fires were lighted on any high knoll near the house. There was no dancing round them. Halloween fires were also lighted in some districts of the northeast of Scotland, such as Buchan. Villagers and farmers alike must have their fire. In the villages, the boys went from house to house and begged a peat from each householder, usually with the words, "Jez a peat tea burn the witches." When they had collected enough peats, they piled them in a heap, together with straw, furze, and other combustible materials, and set the whole on fire. Then each of the youths, one after another, laid himself down on the ground as near to the fire as he could without being scorched, and thus lying allowed the smoke to roll over him. The others ran through the smoke and jumped over their prostrate comrade. When the heap was burned down, they scattered the ashes, vying with each other who should scatter them most. In the northern part of Wales, it used to be customary for every family to make a great bonfire called Coel Coeth on Halloween. The fire was kindled on the most conspicuous spot near the house. And when it had nearly gone out, everyone threw into the ashes a white stone, which he had first marked. Then, having set and the rest round the fire, they went to bed. Next morning, as soon as they were up, they came to search out the stones, and if any one of them was found to be missing, they had a notion that the person who threw it would die before he saw another Halloween. According to Sir John Rhys, the habit of celebrating Halloween by lighting bonfires on the hills is perhaps not yet extinct in Wales, and men still living can remember how the people who assisted at the bonfires would wait till the last spark was out and then would suddenly take to their heels, shouting at the top of their voices, "The cropped black sow sees the hindmost." The saying, as Sir John Rhys justly remarks, implies that originally one of the company became a victim in dead earnest. Down to the present time, the saying is current in Carnarvonshire, where allusions to the cutty black sow are still occasionally made to frighten children. We can now understand why in Lower Britain every person throws a pebble into the midsummer bonfire. Doubtless there, as in Wales and the Highlands of Scotland, omens of life and death have at one time or other been drawn from the position and state of the pebbles on the morning of All Saints' Day. The custom, thus found among three separate branches of the Celtic stock, probably dates from a period before their dispersion, or at least from a time when alien races had not yet driven home the wedges of separation between them. In the Isle of Man also, another Celtic country, Halloween was celebrated down to modern times by the kindling of fires, accompanied with all the usual ceremonies designed to prevent the banefile influence of fairies and witches.